things through Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, power, strength, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. We can turn to one more scripture, if we can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Lord, bless his word. Please be seated. Amen. So just like to take the subject this morning on complexes. Complexes. How many of you all know what a complex is? Some of you all. And you've heard that term and hear people say, I have a complex, or that person has a complex. And so we'd like to, by God's grace, to look at that definition a little bit and see what God has said about it, and so that how it can apply to our life. Because we're in a warfare. Amen. And a lot of the battle is in our mind, right? So we're fighting the flesh that's with us. We love it, but we hate it at the same time. Kind of, it's a love-hate thing. Hate's a strong word, but we are fighting against it. And so we live with it. We cherish it. We take care of it, probably more than anything else at times it may be. But it is against us, as we've heard in the preaching. And so in the flesh works on our mind. And so the mind, we've got to always fight the battle. And as Brother Branham said, you can't keep the thoughts from coming in. So you're always going to get thoughts coming in. You can't stop that. But you can keep them from settling therein. He likens it, as you all remember, the field of corn, and you have crows coming. You can't keep the crows from coming in, but you can keep them from roosting, right? So that's what we are trying to do by God's grace. And we're all susceptible to it, not just the unbelievers, the make-believers, the true believers with the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham was susceptible to it, as we'll try to go through this morning. So I love it how Brother Branham had gone through different things and shown weakness as a man, because that gives me confidence that I can go through it by God's grace and be able to overcome just as he did. And he always said, I was a sinner saved by grace, and he was always open to what was going on with him and the weaknesses that he had. And so I think that's helpful for us, and I believe that was done for a reason. And God made him such a way that he was that kind of a person. He sometimes said he's a little long-winded, but I think it was good so he could get out all the details about what was going on. There's a lot of sermons out there, 1,200 or so, and some people say, oh, they're too long. Why doesn't he just get to the point? But I believe that it was that way for a reason. And sometimes it takes all those details and him walking through a story for us to catch the thought of what was being said. Sometimes we as human beings in this world, we want everything straight to the point. We want to cut to the chase. We want we're a microwave society. But sometimes we have to sit down, and God says, wait upon the Lord, right? So we'd like to try to go through this subject a little bit this morning, and if we don't finish, as the Lord leads, we may continue on. So looking at the definition of complex as far as people have it in our mind, I want to read a definition from Webster's. So it says a group of repressed desires and memories that exerts a dominating influence upon a personality. So You know about repression, depression. So some people would have a thought and it can get repressed sometimes. And if you dwell on it too much and it continues to get repressed, and it becomes a complex and it dominates a certain portion of our life. So examples is in the dictionary, an exaggerated reaction to or preoccupation with a subject or situation. Example, he has always had a complex about spiders. Some people do, some women do, mice, whatever they may be. She has a weight complex. Not being able to find a job was giving me a complex. So those are some examples, just so we can get on the same sheet as far as what a complex is. Now, I'd like to read this from the Message of the Hour, 1959. There's some quotes that I'm going to go through, and I just want to kind of go through them carefully so we can catch the thought of it a little bit. So it'll be kind of deliberate, I guess, and I trust that you all are able to bear with us this morning. So in the message, Why Christ Speak, 1959, Brother Branham has a prayer line going, and so he mentions this. Who else has got prayer cards? Look about one or two more, I guess. Is that your mother? I see her standing by you then. She's got a goiter she wants to be prayed for. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Just have faith in God. Just any of you, look and live. Do you believe it? Why, Christ is here. Feel different now, don't you, sis? Now you go home and be well now, just. And the sister asks this, and I believe we can put ourselves in this situation, but the sister asks, do you believe I'll be well? So are you sure? And sometimes we being human, we're weak in that faith, and we just, we want to be real, and if we're feeling that way, that's what she was doing. She was being real, but she says, believe I'll be well? And Brother Brand says, why, sure, certainly. Certainly I believe you're well. Sure, amen. Just see, you've got that complex wrapped around you. See? So this complex is dominating her as she's going through the prayer line, and Brother Branham recognizes it. And you'll see that it is always the word that brings the healing and identifies it. Now, he does it in different forms or fashions, but it is God in a supernatural way brings the healing power. So he says here, see, but the power of it broke just a few minutes ago. Just keep believing, press right on, go forward, speak. By his stripes, I'm healed. Stand right up to it. You just go on and be well. Everything will be all right. So you see the words that he's using to reassure her that everything is going to be all right because of what God has done. And so he's using encouraging thoughts, positive thoughts from God to get her mindset to change from that way of being fearful to the way that God wants us to think about. And so in order for us to defeat these complexes, it takes the word of God to straighten out our thinking, right? So our thinking can be tilted by different experiences, different trauma, different crises that have gone through our lifetime. And there was one example of a girl that was going through a prayer line, and she had, as a little girl, been running from a dog, and that had affected her for many years later, right? But it took the Spirit of God to identify that, do the discernment, to say, this is what your problem is, right? And so that fear there that was repressed built a complex there. And so, but it takes the Word of God. So remember, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, so it can cut and identify that thing, but it's a supernatural Word of God. It is a revealed Word of God. It is a word by inspiration. It's not just we read the Bible and get an intellectual understanding, but it's something that has power in a supernatural. And we'll see that because it doesn't happen on our own intention or our own will, but it happens purely by the timing and will of God, that somebody is released from that. And those of us, many of us have been freed from different things by the Word of God, whether it was the preaching of the Word, we've heard it on the tape, or what have you. And so something broke right there. And that was a supernatural timing of God that just spoke right directly to you. So he says, look, now he says this, by his stripes I'm healed, stand right up to it. You just go on and be well. Everything will be all right. Looks all light around you. Now where it's dark, when you was on the platform, you're all right. The blessing's on you now if you'll just keep on going. So he's telling her what he's seeing. It's light all around you. It's not darkness. And so she's getting encouraged. And so the word of God and the nature of God is always encouragement, right? To try to bring us up and to build us up. So now here's another example of an 18-year-old girl with a complex. So someone's coming in a little bit while for us to go to Louisville. I want you to remember the prayer to a fine young lady that she isn't about 18 years old. She's a twin. And a Christian girl in school and the other girls would talk about her. You know, the two girls, and tell them that how they were, what part of life they were missing, and how they should live like the rest of the girls. And so the young people can get that as they're grounded in Christ, but they'll still be, whether they're going to school or other places, they're going to be pushed, they're going to be tried. And other girls were saying, you're missing out, because they were brought up in a strong Christian home. And one girl was able just to override it. She was very strong, one of the twins. The other one had a complex, and she felt real bad about it and just kept going away and drifting further back and just worrying about it. And finally, she's got a mental breakdown. And she's in an insane ward. Her mother and father's coming just a little bit from Crandall, Indiana, to go over this institution. And they're trying to send her to Madison tomorrow. So the other sister, fine, but this girl, it got to her and it broke her down mentally, and she went to a mental institution. And so this is a familiar story, I think, for a lot of us, not this particular situation, but young people getting into these kind of situations, whether it's depression or some type of mental breakdown. Now, the girl, there's no physical break in the girl. There's nothing physically. She's perfectly healthy, but it's hard to explain it, and it really cannot be explained. What it is, her spirit has wandered. See, now you got to catch her spirit and bring it back to the place. See there? As we just got through speaking here a few weeks ago on how the human system operates, how that there's five senses that you enter the body by, and then five avenues, we call it. Five avenues such as conscience, imagination, and so forth, we enter the soul by. And then when you enter the spirit, there's only one avenue, and that is through self-will, which bases it back like man was created. So Brother Branham uses soul and spirit interchangeably, but he's talking about the inside man here. Self-will, and so you either accept it or you don't accept it. You can receive it or you can just let it go. You can accept Christ as Savior or just let him go. And you're still by that tree, that one of life and one of death. Every human being is set before that tree, or God would be unjust to put out one there and then not give the other one the equal chance to choose right or wrong. And each one of us has that opportunity. And in that spirit, we can be healed or we cannot be healed. So we have a choice whether to accept God's word for healing or not. It's not because there's not that we haven't healed, been healed according to God. We have, for the covenant is unconditional, and he has already purchased our healing. Therefore, our healing is to us. It's already been done. We just have to accept it. Now, it's whether we will take this avenue to believe it or this avenue to just not believe it. Now, back to this child. She was a nice lady, come out of a real strict Nazarene home. Sweet little girl, and she's got a lovely husband. I know him too, real well. The boy that married her, and she's just a little. They raised those children. So he's talking about he knows the parents of this 18-year-old girl. They raised those children to serve the Lord and put them in school, and they were really grounded in Christ, not to do the things that's wrong, but there it went, just on a break, just like a few minutes ago, and gazed back to a little boy had the very same thing. And he talks about this other young gentleman that had that, and he was a good friend of Brother Branham, but he got to the point where he turned into a different person. And he said, one time I mentioned to Brother Branham screaming and jumping, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. It changes them to a different person when you go through this sometimes. Now what we had to do there was to go into the line of spirit and catch that boy's spirit, see? A lot of grief had come to his little heart, and he's young, and he'd seen a lot, and just brought him right back to the place where he should be. You see, in a few days he was all right. And so God caught his spirit and brought it to the right place, so it was out there, just like this little girl's, but it took the Spirit of God to bring it to its right place. So showing that these things can be solved by God. I request you all to pray now that God will help me to find this little girl out into a place where she don't know where she's at. Then bring her back to her place, and that avenue comes through faith. So he's mentioning this in the message Beyond the Curtain of Time, 1961, and it's in March 5th. And so she hasn't been healed yet, but about a week or so later, then there's another message in An Uncertain Sound. And this is what he says. He's mentioning the two lovely daughters again and what happened with them. And then he said, one little girl going to school, she got a complex. And they said, why don't you smoke? Why you think you're better than we are? Why don't you go to dances? Have you ever heard that before growing up, or young people that are in this room? So they try to make you feel bad by saying you think you're better than we are. How many have heard that before? So, no, they didn't go to dances, nor neither did they smoke or drink, and they made fun of the healthier girls, said, let them jump in the river. I'm the one serving Christ. And some of us are strong like that. I mean, these things don't bother us. But some of us are built a little bit differently, and these things do affect us. It doesn't mean that there's any difference in our salvation. It's just that we're built differently. Our makeup's different. You know, as Brother Branham said, you know, each one is born under a certain star, and you have a certain makeup and different things. And so you have a tendency, one person this way, one person that way. You're genetically built a certain way because of your grandfather and what have you. And that's the human side. He says this, moving on. But the other one, she began to think, oh, maybe I could do something. And she built a complex, got nervous. She went insane. They had her in an institution 2 years. And so they was trying to doctor her by give her all kinds of stuff and treatments and everything. It didn't work right. And so she ended up going into this institution. I'm trying to move along just a little bit. Says, you know, she was one of the perfectionists. She was a genius. She even teaches opera, plays overtures, and teaches music at 18 years old. Just a real smart girl. So she a real good Christian, and they couldn't understand what was going on with her. The psychiatrist couldn't figure it out in different things. And so skipping on to what happened with her, with how Brother Branham, so they remember she's from Milltown, I believe. And he used to be the pastor of that church. And so as she was going through this, then they remembered him and hearing about the different healing campaigns and different things. So something came to their mind to try to contact Brother Branham. And so they got him, they contacted him, and then they had a little bit of inspiration as God was beginning to move on them a little bit. And so he was driving along, following the mom and dad in a car, and one of the girls, Brother Brown, was talking, and she began to say that, you know, I had something going on, a thought or a dream about healing with oil, and then so God's moving on the situation and getting to them in the right mindset. She said, you think that could have been pertaining that God was trying to tell us through our pastor or something? We had a chance that way. So she's mentioning that the pastor was talking about being healed by oil because he talked about that all of a sudden that morning. I said, well, this is Brother Branham, we'll see when we get over there and see what the Holy Spirit says. And when they open the door, you know, they unlock the door and then it locked back behind you, unlock the elevator and take you up. Then, so he sees the little girl, little darling about that high. Emotions, great big soft pretty eyes sitting there, just a terrible condition. And he says, you remember me, Margaret? Said, oh, And I said, I'm Brother Branham. Don't you remember me? Billy, you used to call me down there. When you come, you was like a little pumpkin seed, little bitty girl. The last time I seen you, little bitty dresses like that. Don't you remember me? She's still not remembering. Said, oh, great big guys, you know, looking at like that. And I thought, oh, God, I sat with my, just kind of my leg crossed on the bed. And then he said, again, I said, don't you remember me, Margaret? And that just kept on looking at me. She just kept looking at me, and she couldn't make out nothing. Said, Brother Branham, only thing she keeps talking about is about blood and on the highway and things like that. Funniest things, things that were a little bit odd. And I said, how long this thing going on? Said, 2 years. And I kept talking to her. Oh, but the grace of God. Just in a few minutes, the Holy Spirit began to move in. I said, Margaret, you don't know me, but I said, all your life, since you've been big enough to know about boys, you always had in your mind you was going to marry a preacher. You wanted to marry a preacher. And she started to smile. So there's a spirit that's working here. You wanted to marry a preacher, and she started to smile. That caught, see? And I seen the Holy Spirit had it. And then I said, thus saith the Lord, it's over. And I thought, what did I say? Many of you has read about the squirrels and so forth. I said, it's over. Well, I thought, if he said that, I'm staying right with it. So he didn't know what he was saying. And God spoke it. Brother Huff, I don't know why I said that. I cannot tell you. I said, I just said it. And that's all I know, just said it. And I said, but you just watch. In the next few hours, there's going to be a change in here. That was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, there'll be such a change in here in the next few hours. And then it goes on, and then she gets released, I believe, the next day and so forth. So she was healed, right? Now, Brother Bram wasn't presumptuous and say, you know, lay hands and said, you're healed without getting the inspiration. But he was waiting for that right moment. He didn't know what was going to happen, because sometimes he just prays for people, walks away, and then God heals them later. Sometimes he heals them right on the spot. Sometimes he gives them a vision. But he was just following the will of the Lord, and God gave him the words to speak. And so you can say right now, it's over. What does that mean, right? But when the inspiration comes behind it and says it's over, then there's power there, right? And so just like when Brother Bram says squirrels, and then the squirrels came to existence, the creative power of God by inspiration, the same power he came through his lips. Used as a vessel, he didn't use his own mind. It was God's mind speaking through his mouth. And so that power lies in you and I, that Holy Ghost power. It's just that we've got to be able to tap into that power, right? And it's not us doing it on our own will, but it's the inspiration of God. And so we are moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the hour that we're in right now, we have the power, right? If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the power. And there's no more measure of the Holy Ghost. You have power already. It's just that you have to have the faith that activates that power that's within inside of you, right? And so the rapture is already in us, right? So that power to change our body is already inside of us, but that power just has to be tapped into in order for it, the power to be released. He said the power that's inside of you can create a world, right? Because that's what created this earth. And so we have to be able, it takes the faith. Now, that's why he says, we have to get into the rapturing condition, the rapturing faith for our bodies. And so in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, when the bride recognizes her possession, then the rapture will go. So when we see ourselves as we are truly known, right, there's a revelation that occurs, and that revelation gives us faith. And so right now we don't have enough revelation for that, but we will. And when is revelation given? It's by God's timing. But it's also given as we walk with the Lord. Because if you look at Enoch, remember, Enoch was walking with the Lord, and then he was not. He walked out, right? And so he got a revelation of a rapture to take place. And so we are waiting for the full revelation. That's what the seals was about. It was the full opening of Jesus Christ, right? And so we see it sometimes as a doctrine, but it was the opening up of who Jesus is, and that we are a part of that to open up to see who we are. And so when we fully recognize and realize the power that's there, then the power is there to speak these things. And we don't do it of our own desire, but it happens without our thinking, just like it did in the situation. So everything, every obstacle, every complex, every disease, every situation can be taken care of in Christ by the Word of God. But we've just got to be able to access that through the channel of God. All right. I'm going to move on here to another situation. Now, these are different situations that could apply to us here. So this is talking about a stubborn spirit. So Brother Branham, here's a question in the message, God being misunderstood. Brother Branham, I am saved and have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? Sound familiar? Maybe. Well, my Christian brother or sister, whoever it may be, now most times when you find people that's got stubborn spirits, it's usually a complex that causes this. Either they have inherited from a mother, father, uncle, aunt, grandmother, grandfather, somebody like that. And if you'll chase back down through your life, you'll find. Now, I've taken it by experience under discernment because I have met cases on the platform, thousands of those that had that spirit. So he's got experience. He's seen it many, many times. And the first thing you know, I chase that spirit right back by discernment and find that there was a granddaddy, there was a grandmother, there was somebody else back down there, and you inherit that by nature. Thank your parents or grandparents. Stubborn. Stubbornness is not of God. And now, the only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome that. That's if you are a Christian, you are a son of or daughter of God, whichever you may be, and you will never be able to stand and rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. It's just like tantalizing a rattlesnake. So if you keep doing it a certain way and it's not the right way, then you're tantalizing a rattlesnake. It's like that. He's laying there ready to bite you. If you will just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. See? Sometimes we want to keep digging in it, but he's saying walk away from it. So when you feel that you've got a stubborn spirit, lay the thing on the altar and believe God that the thing is dead and you will never have it no more. Pretty simple. And go on and don't even pay any attention to it no more, and the thing will leave you. So now we're talking about this mind, the discipline of the mind. So remember, God's people are like army, they're soldiers. So we've got to have discipline. A soldier's discipline, they can follow orders and they won't deviate from it. And so God is giving instruction. And so if we just hold on to that and be disciplined in our minds, it won't bother us. And the thing will leave you. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's get away quickly. So that would be my advice, how to overcome it. We overcome the devil by faith. That's what we overcome. All evil is by faith. Let me see here how much time. There's this one about a minister, young man. And I'll just share this real quick, and then we'll try to press on and trust that we can finish this this morning. So there was a young man married to a fine Christian woman, and during their honeymoon, this is what happened. They went happily on their honeymoon, and the enemy jumped on to this young man. And I'm saying this to express what I'm saying. Does he care? It's in the message. He He cares. Do you care? Somehow with faith that would not take no, they turned and returned back here, knowing after they was all the way over in the east here somewhere on their honeymoon. So they were way, way far away, and this young man was going through this trouble, but they wanted to take care of it, so they traveled all the way back, stopped their honeymoon. And I walked in, fine, handsome young man, his wife, sitting on the outside crying. Her and their little companion, the other man and the other brother coming running, which is a friend of this young man, saying, "Oh, Brother Branham, such and such has happened." Went there and seen this handsome young man sitting there, just in the peak of his life, a leader of young men sitting there, and Satan bound him. He never noticed, but I took my hand left to shake his hand with his hand, right hand, so to see if some disease had plagued him. But there was no sign of vibration. Come right on the out of the room from praying and fasting and waiting upon the Lord. So the anointing was on him because he had been praying and fasting. But in less than a couple of moments' time, it was all... So let me see. Let me back up here. So he was praying and fasting. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was there. And that's why it led us, see? And then seeing this shadow of darkness over him, I never said what I was doing, but in less than a couple of moments... time, it was all gone. The coldness of his hands had left. He was shouting and praising God. A few minutes to find himself. And here they sit right here this morning, sitting in the audience. So remember, this is a word prophet that God worked through. And so God used the word through this prophet to deliver this man. See how Satan was trying to upset that young man by referring to him of some complex to be built back, which the Holy Spirit knew. So maybe we had overcome something, but the devil tries to get us to look back, right? And then bring those things, resurrect those old bones, and then we're back in the same thing. And we know how dangerous it is to look in the past. Remember the woman that was delivered, and then she was a dancer before, and then she thought she was, you know, reasoning in her mind that she could win some people to Christ by witnessing, by going to the music hall, but she was attracted by the music, and we know that when she did that, then she was taken back, and then the evil spirit got on her and different things, and they had to be cast out. But because she was going back to the past, then the evil came back to her. So the scripture says, forgetting those things that were before, looking on, we press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the past can haunt us. So let's not look at the past. Now, I'm just going to breeze by this one, but I think you all know the story about this one. So it's just talking about the inner makeup that we have and the genetics that plays into this. And you know about the story. There was a young man who had, I believe she was engaged or married to this young man. And I'll just read the first paragraph and then I'll just kind of summarize. But it says, "I was called in on a scene on a little something going on. There was a fine young man, very fine boy. He was going with a little girl, a very fine little girl out of a fine family. And this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of an idea, and he just walked away. He did something wrong to the little girl and much as promised her to do a certain thing and then didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it." I think a lot of us are familiar with this story. Now, Brother Branham gets to the heart of the problem. He says this: "Now, the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him. It's genetic. Just like from his mother's family, and they are not forgiving, they will not apologize, and that's where that boy stands. And the father raised up and said, 'My son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool. Said, I know my son has come to Christ.' I said, 'That may be all right, all the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers, but until he is regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. So he won't have that kind of forgiveness or that apology in him. We know that his relatives and, you know, German, Irish, they were all mixed into that, and they were unapologetic people, and they had tempers and different things. But his parents, they were converted, and so they had a different nature. They had a very sweet, nice nature because it came from the Holy Ghost. But he did not. He was not converted. And so because he wasn't converted, that old nature is going to always be there, and he will not apologize. So he says here, he says, he'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. So young sisters, don't get married until you know that man has the Holy Ghost. Hell on earth, it says. Take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectual, he's trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He can't do it on his own. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. When you get that Holy Ghost, everything just turns out right? Because now you're following God, and the nature that's exuding from you is the Spirit of Christ. You'll be the right father, you'll be the right husband, you'll be the right son, you'll be the right citizen, all these different things. It's Christ. Okay, there's one more here. I don't think I'll be able to get into Brother Branham, but just as a highlight, Brother Branham talks about the critical spirit that he had to deal with. And so we can get that critical spirit also. If Brother Branham can get it, we can get it. And so it's, you know, because, you know, this word that we have, this thing, you know, the Holy Ghost and the holiness of it, and, you know, we deal with people many times and try to, you know, bear with them, you know, whether it's family members or a father trying to bear with our kids and trying to bring them to Christ or others, or whatever, and we're long-suffering, but sometimes this human can run into limitations, and it can get the best of us, you know, and Brother Branham would get frustrated. He would get a critical spirit. He would get a complex that people were not listening to what he was saying and different things, and he built a complex, and trust that we can get into that, but, you know, we can get into that. And so Brother Branham had to recognize it in order for to deal with it. So it's first all of us recognizing that we have a weakness, we have a problem, and then trying to deal with it, because it didn't get fixed overnight. But you heard him talking about it over the pulpit, saying, I need God to help me with this, right? He did that different times. And then God was able to, over time, to work with him and do that. We have our own weaknesses. You know, each one of us, I mean, a true Christian looks at themselves and when they're doing wrong, the Holy Spirit brings that up and says, that wasn't quite right. You don't have the right attitude or different things. And that's why these questions come up. I have a stubborn spirit. How do I deal with it? It's because the believer wants to be right, and the Holy Spirit brings that up and so says, Lord, help me. And so that's the first sign of recovery, was when you understand and you've got a problem, right? It talks about the fool in Proverbs that doesn't recognize he's got a problem. You know, he doesn't recognize he has pride. He doesn't recognize he doesn't know what he ought to know, right? So it's a bad spirit. Brother Branham talks about the spirit of pride. It's not thinking that you have anything wrong or you have things right and you don't, right? And that's the Laodicean spirit. So this question and answer is the question is, there's a couple questions before this. It's 1964, and talking about thoughts. He says, Brother Branham, please explain how a person knows if he is thinking his own thoughts or if the devil is placing thoughts in his mind to make him think wrong, especially if you know you do not want to think them. So that's a good sign if you don't want to think them and you're getting those thoughts. That's the Holy Ghost recognizing it. And it's making you feel bad, but it's a good thing. So he says, then if it's contrary to the word, it's the devil's thinking. If it's with the word, it's God's thinking. Very simple. Not anything, not rocket science. If it's the wrong thoughts, it's the devil. If it's good thoughts of the word and of God, it's God's thinking. Now, So same kind of thing, and how do you get rid of it? Another question. It says this. I want to get to straight to the answer. He says, take the very vice versa from it to overcome it. If the devil makes you think that you are, if you know you're a Christian and he tries to make you think you're not a Christian, just take the vice versa. I am a Christian. Keep saying that. Keep believing that. As long as your experience matches in God's word, say, I'm a Christian. Anything else the same way. When you answer this, please pray for me to overcome this as I, okay. Let me make sure I got that. Okay. So here's the last one. When a person realizes he has an inferior complex or some sort of complex, how may he overcome this? So should it be if he was the only child caused this in his early youth? So he says this. Again, take the opposite. If you're always wanting your way, and that one little brat that wants to always have everything your way, how many youngest in this room? Turn right back around and give everything you got the other way. So keep working it the opposite direction. If you're selfish and you want to hold everything, then start giving away what you got. See? Do whatever. Just go the vice versa. That's the way to overcome anything is an antidote. My old Southern mother used to say, hair off the dog back is good for the bite. And that applies this way too. We all understand what that means. Okay, I looked it up and there's a believer's translation of this that talks about all these expressions that Brother Branham has. So it means this, from the belief that the bite of a dog could be healed by applying its hair to the wound. So bottom line is taking the cure is the opposite. So amen. I'm done here. So just think of that. If you've got a problem, take the opposite on the complex side. I trust that you can just let these things sink in a little bit, and these are things that help us overcome in this life. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. And Lord Jesus, Lord, you accounted for every little thing, oh Lord Jesus, to help us overcome. I don't believe it's always the big things that we overcome, it's the little things. As you said through your prophet, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us, O Lord, help us to see the application of the word into our daily life, O Father. Not something that's just high up there in grand spiritual, but something that comes down into our everyday life, O Lord, that we're able to fight the devil each day, Monday through Sunday, O Lord. Help each one of us, O Lord, to let the word sink into our hearts, O Lord Jesus, and when we face the enemy, that the words, the Holy Ghost brings those to remembrance, and then we fight him just as you laid the example for us, O Father. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless every heart, O Lord Jesus. Bring us into the unity, O Lord. Bring us into the love of God, dear Lord Jesus. Bless the service, the song service, O Lord. Anoint it all, O Lord, the preaching of the word, O Lord, so that souls may be delivered, O Father. Healing would take place, O Lord Jesus, that you would be lifted up. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated.